Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you since 1997 on KKUP Radio with over 250 guests and still going strong in their 12th year of weekly broadcasting, the International Taz and Paula Show brings to you expansive, engaging, and groundbreaking intensity on radio and now on the internet airwaves today. Listen live every Thursday or visit Embracing Mother Earth's archives, exclusive articles, ask questions, and receive actual answers from guests anytime at TazandPaulaShow.com. Taz and Paula's special guests are experts coming from all walks of life, energizing our lives with a passion that inspires and teaches us with each of their compelling personal life journeys, with roots from ancient wisdom and bridging it with modern science. We hope today's show touches the wisdom of your heart. And now, Taz and Paula.
Well, good afternoon. I'm Paula Noon.
And I'm Taz Powers. Well, Paula, I'm telling you, recently, as everyone is aware, the Earth is shaking more and more. Paula, do you remember in the news reading that the Earth was knocked off center recently?
Yes, it was actually on the mainstream news. They blamed it on the earthquake in Chile.
Right. And not only that, but everyone is now talking about how their bodies are aching in one way or another like never before.
And it sounds like we're shaking in our own bodies, just like Mother Earth.
That could be really happening. Well, our sun evidently influences shift, and we'll be talking more about that today with our guest, Sheldon Neidel. Sheldon's knowledge about Earth history is so extensive. It's downright electrifying. From the age of four, Sheldon has been, shall we say, been primed to educate others for what has been happening on our Earth and around the universe by the Galactic Federation. And step by step, over the last 15 years, I've heard Sheldon share how the shifts of Mother Earth are taking place to support our bodies back into full consciousness. And we will, of course, be asking him just what full consciousness means in just a little bit. Today, we'll be examining some evidence and erasing the doubt.
Well, he has not called in yet. Do you know if he's at an 808 telephone number?
Let's see. We could check it out. I think it's 530, actually.
Oh, okay. But somebody just had called me from 808, so.
Okay.
So do you want to put some music on? And
Let me put a little bit of music on and see what I can do to get a hold of him. Okay, just a moment here. The Angel of Changes is the name of this.
You want me to put some music on this end?
Thank you.
Zelda?
No.
Remember why you came.
Are you ready?
Okay, we have
just a minute. Yes, we actually, I got a hold of Sheldon, and he's calling in. He'll be at area code 530, and the last four numbers are 4332.
Okay, I think I've seen him come in. Just
okay, great.
Okay, hi, Sheldon.
Hi.
Hi. Well, we've introduced you already. We say welcome.
Well, thank you, then.
Okay. Recently, you've been given international webinars every 2 weeks or so. And let me tell you, they're in Australia, Austria, Belgium, Canada, Denmark, Germany, Ireland, New Zealand, Sweden, Spain, Switzerland, the United States. I mean, I can go on. I mean, it's like, it's... People love what you're doing. You are so descriptive and so exact with pictures, drawings, and more to explain what you're talking about. And everybody is about to understand. Everybody is just able to understand when you describe to them what's taking place on Earth in our bodies. And like Paula and I just said, you know, everybody's bodies have been hurting and all kinds of things.
Speaking of that, what's causing our bodies to ache so much?
Well, what we're doing is we're going through a change because we're moving from being where we are right now, which is limited consciousness, to full consciousness. So our chakras, our meridians, and, of course, most importantly, the DNA is shifting. So we are in the midst of a massive change. You might say we're kind of like kids growing up real fast. So we're going through all the aches and pains the kids go through. We're going through them much faster, of course, but that's what's happening.
Hmm. So are you, so, but what about people that have had like injuries recently or over the last few years? Are those areas hurting more than others or what?
Well, it depends how traumatic it was. If it was real traumatic, then a lot of people will be re-experiencing them because their bodies have to be cleared of all the residual energy from that feeling of trauma that you had that kind of sets into your DNA. It's called epigenetics, and so they have to clear that. And when you go through that process of clearing, of course, you go through the pain. Sometimes it may hurt as much or more, so... It's not something to look forward to, but unfortunately for most of us, that's the way we are clearing our stuff. So we just have to go with it and say, bless it and know it. It's a way down the path to becoming fully conscious.
Is that true with emotions too?
Deals with emotions too. You may go through periods where you're feeling really joyous and everything, and all of a sudden for some reason you start feeling depressed or sad and you can't figure out why. That's the why.
Hmm. And the other thing that you talked about, by the way, on the recent webinar that I was on, you talked about the ETs really helping to stabilize our tectonic plates. that was really reassuring to me. It really gave me confidence to know that we're having help somewhere.
Well, that's what they need to do. They need to take care of us, and they also need to take care of Mother Earth. So the process that they are dealing with is, well, we have to see where people are and how we can get them to where they have to go at a certain time. And that, of course, is difficult because all 6 billion plus of us have different levels that we're at. And so they have to look at that and look at the most that our people are doing to change in the least, and kind of figure out a time schedule or energy pattern that works, and then they have to go to Mother Earth and see what will work depending on what they know about us with Mother Earth. So the result has been they've been doing things like, as we just talked about, stabilizing the tectonic plates, adjusting the upper atmosphere, working very difficult situations with the ice melting, et cetera, in the northern hemisphere, et cetera. So it's been a task, you might say, of monumental proportions, and fortunately for us, they're more than up to it. So that basically is what's been happening there. We have a planet that is changing. We have a culture that is shifting because it needs to, from where we are right now to a culture that works in a more prosperous and more conscious world as far as our global society goes. And they also have to realize that Mother Earth is changing also. So we have to kind of keep things going in a way that allows for this person to change, Mother Earth to change, our society to change, all of the moments that allows each other thing to happen without totally interfering with any one of the other things. So you can see that it's very complex. And the process is even more complex because, like I said, every person on this planet is operating at a different level of shift. So they have to look at that. They have to look at the change in our inhabitants, our environment, the economy, and everything going on with that. And they also have to look at the processes going on with Mother Earth, as I keep insisting. So what we have to understand is all these different elements are put together, and you might call it in a giant pot, and they have to stir it just right so that it doesn't overflow, so to speak, or burn, so to speak, also. So this is a very difficult situation that they are doing, and I'm happy that, as I said, they're up to it.
So they're helping because if something went wrong with Mother Earth, that would that make the whole universe, I mean the other planets and other stars, we would disrupt them also? Is that the reason why?
Well, indirectly it also disrupts because everything in this galaxy, as well as everything in the universe we see around in the night sky and beyond, is interconnected with one another. So everything is related to everything else. So yes, they have to look at that also. So there's enough factors that would give even a supercomputer a go right now. So they have a very difficult task, and they have to keep coming up with formulas that work, and they have to keep coming up with information that helps them validate any formula they have that they're using. So all these things are in flux all the time. I mean, they could change by the hour. So the result of it is that they really have to be able to multitask the situation and be able to talk to each other and be able to do things that allow for this homeostasis, the stasis situation, to continue. So that is one of the things that they have to look at. And the other thing they have to look at is the fact that Mother Earth wants to move much more forward than she has right now. So they're getting added pressure from that, which in turn means they've got to work with our Earth allies to totally have the shift here happen faster than it was originally scheduled for. So everything going on right now is in flux and change. So we have a process happening that is got, you might say, unbelievable amounts of variables involved in it that are constantly changing. So that's what makes this whole process so difficult and why it is happening in a level where we barely have a total realization that it's happening, because they've been able to keep it at a relative even keel. Every so often there will be things where a massive shift has to happen, like Mother Earth with Chile or Mother Earth with the earthquake in Haiti in January. And so you have other things that happened. You could go all the way back to a year ago to the present, and you would see a constant flow of little blips of major earthquakes or an eruption of a volcano or changes going on in the atmosphere, et cetera, that are part of this process. So they know there are blips from time to time, and they have to account for those also. So that adds to the variables in the formula. which makes it a lot more difficult.
Does this have anything to do with 2012?
Well, that's another thing. We are definitely approaching what you might call the end point or the shift point when everything does have to change. So they also know that they have to get more and more and more involved as the weeks and months go on. So their process also is to know that they have to put their own intervals of variables in there to move this change forward. So when you look at it, the way they like me to look at it, look at the big picture, so to speak, you would see all these things going on all the time and all these little emergency things that they have to do to correct things and maintain the change at a relatively even keel. And you would also see that the time frame is getting squeezed in terms of how much time they have in which to do certain things. So that in turn makes this process where if certain things don't happen in certain periods of time, then they have to get more involved. And so that's where they are right now. They're approaching a period where they really have to get more and more involved, and that's basically what they're starting to do right now.
Now, somebody in the chat room wrote something. It says, will the last adjustments in your March 23rd update being made by the Galactic's Heaven and Earth allies create Nisara by spring?
Well, basically something like Nisara. What we have to really understand is that there are great changes that were signed into law in the United States government over a decade ago. And what is happening right now with our country is that it has to change. The present government is really a United States corporation. It's not really a government. It's a de facto government. And this de facto government has to be moved aside, and that's a process that's happening right now. And when the banksters get put out of power, which is, as I said, is close to happening, then this whole thing will happen very, very fast. So expect some very interesting things to happen in the coming weeks or months ahead that will cause that to happen. And once the basic obstacles are out of the way, the next steps, which happen very quickly, can then be manifested. So what we need to do is understand, first of all, the economic system has to be adjusted. That means the banks have to go. The next thing that's going to happen is after that happens, governments go, deliveries of funds happen, and then we have a whole bunch of things that happen with the original announcements by the governments, which include things like debt forgiveness, change in U.S. foreign policy, movement toward peace, the bringing home of troops, the endings of wars. It's amazing things. Once they get started, it'll almost be you wake up every morning, turn on the news or look at the newspaper and say, wow, look what's going on.
Well, Sheldon, you also said that I thought was really interesting in the last webinar. You said that not only was Earth changing, but Venus, Mars, and Saturn and Jupiter were also doing their changes just like us. And I thought, wow, it's the whole universe.
Well, our solar system right now is doing exactly what is happening here. You might say all the planets are mirroring one another. And as this mirroring process continues, you'll see what's happened so far. Mercury is right now the most active volcanic planet in the galaxy, in this solar system. Venus is changing its surface features. It's becoming active. Mars is going through the same kind of global warming and climate change that is going here on this planet. The larger planets, the so-called great gas giants, Saturn, Jupiter, Uranus, Neptune, are going through similar things. They've found great activities happening at the poles of both poles of these worlds. And, of course, when you get out to Pluto, it's changing its surface. There have been massive changes in the color sequencing of the surface, including changes of activity in Pluto's moon. So what we have here is a massive change from one end of the solar system to the other. Also, the sun is going through massive activities, and the sun is becoming not as easy to understand by solar physicists as they have in the previous past decades. So everything is happening. And, of course, the same thing is happening out there in the galaxy. We are seeing great changes happening. There are new nebulas being created. There are changes happening in galaxies that are nearby. This entire physicality is shifting, and the reason for that is we are moving toward the light, and One of the aspects of that has, of course, that we are most involved with directly, of course, is our change into being and becoming fully conscious beings.
What does that mean, so people, in case they don't know?
Okay, a fully conscious being is a being that can live in two realities, the spiritual realms and the physical realms. That means they're really a physical angel. They're an angel in that they are from the spiritual realms, but they are also physical because they are the angels dealing with the shifting of physicality from being dark to light. So what we are doing is helping creation to unfold the divine plan, for instance, in this galaxy. And that's what all the other fully conscious beings are doing. And, of course, to become fully conscious beings, it means we have to change our frequencies, move it up to 13. We're at about 12.9 ad infinitum, it seems at times. And what's happening is we have to change our chakras. We're changing from a 7-chakra system that you'll see in an average book on chakras to a new chakra system of 13. And so that means we're developing things like the heart is splitting into, the heart chakra is splitting into two sections. We have the upper heart of the thymus center. We have the regular heart, which is now involved not only with the process of bringing life to our bodies by pumping blood around it, but also is a soul center for intuitive logic. So what we're moving into right now is being more intuitive, so that center is coming in. There's also the process of this change and release we're talking about, and that's the so-called diaphragm center, and that's why a lot of people may feel stomach aches more, may feel burning in their esophagus, especially the lower part of the esophagus, so-called heartburn, which it really isn't, it's really acid. There's all kinds of acid flux problems happening at the top of our stomachs and in our esophagus. We have problems with digestion. We have problems going on because the stomach is shifting. We also have problems with the whole process of elimination of waste. So the small and large intestines are also shifting. So people are going through a lot of changes. They're feeling pains down there in their bowels. They're feeling changes in their heart. They're feeling pain in their solar plexus, which is also related, most importantly, to this new center that we just talked about, the diaphragm center. All of that is going on, plus all your 206-plus major and minor meridians are coming alive. Your entire nervous system is shifting. This is causing changes in your muscle system, so sometimes muscles will go into seizing. It's also causing new chakras to come into your head, which is causing your brain to change. Some people may be going through headaches, blurriness of eyes, etc. So this changing in metabolism, this changing in how our brain works, the change in how our brain connects to the heart energies, all that is going on right now. And that's part of the process of shifting us into being fully conscious. So as you can see, a ton of stuff is going on with us, and all of it's going on in a unique fashion because how our epigenetic patterns were set up, which is unique to all of us, and how that pattern relates to the changes that are going on relates in turn to how we go through our pains. In other words, some people may be having more heart pains or pains in the head, more headaches. Some people may be going through changes with their legs and all the things involved with that, knees changing, might find pain in knees all of a sudden, might find ankle problems. Like I just had a big ankle problem a few days ago because my right ankle, I nearly broke it. I twisted it severely about 15, 16 years ago. So the result of that is that all of us are going through this in the pattern that is deemed by our angelic body guardians to be the best way to get rid of this stuff, and in doing so to transform it into a higher energy stuff that prepares us for becoming fully conscious. So one of the things we could probably do is meditate, talk to our body guardians, have a process set up within us so we understand what's going on with our pains, so it doesn't become, every time it happens, become in our mind some kind of massive health crisis, and just understand what that is so that we can tell the difference between what is a health crisis versus what is the pains. And that's something that we really have to learn to intuit more. So a lot of us need to get more into our intuitive energies and less into our logic energies, because this is how this shift happens, because there's a change. When you become fully conscious, the intuitive spiritual energy becomes more important as a center for logic, quote-unquote, than the brain does, as it is now this main center of logic in our conscious self. So we really have to understand that change. So I would really say learning how to center yourself, how to work basically in meditation with what's going on, be one with your medical teams, whether they're in the angelic medical teams or the Galactic Federation medical teams. It's really important that we we get a balance on what's happening with us so that we better understand the process so we don't freak out, so to speak, when all this stuff starts happening. Because at times it can be numerous things. Like I will get knee pains and ankle pains, and suddenly I'll get pains in my stomach and I'll get headaches. So the process is, understand that at times it will be it will feel like a mullible attack, but really what it is, it's a massive clearing going on to get us one day and one step closer to becoming a fully conscious being. And this being that walks between spiritual realms and the physical realms and can use that energy to become a guardian, a steward, a change agent, a manifesting agent of the divine plan in this galaxy and in physicality.
How do they transfer? I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, eating lighter, would that help also?
Right, that would also help. That would be a wonderful way to, it'll give you an excuse for a diet. A lot of us are going through problems. Whenever we have a nice big meal, we get into all kinds of pains and aches, which we never used to get to, and we wonder what's going on.
We thought we were getting older.
Right.
Oh, God. Well, okay, so we're transitioning from a 3D world into a 5D world, and this is all part of it?
This is all part of it, exactly. You're absolutely right, Tess.
Wow. So it looks like we have a lot of equalizing to do in our bodies.
We do. This is a constant thing, and it depends on how up and down the scale you are. If people are just starting in this whole procedure, starting all the different operations of change, awakening, they have a lot to do. So what will usually happen is your body guardians and the Federation medical teams will come together and say we have to speed things up in certain areas. So some people may feel extremely in pain in some areas. Like you may have had, when you were younger, you may have had a severe breakage, let's say a compound fracture, one of your legs or one of your arms. And all of a sudden you're discovering that if you're typing, maybe you're a secretary now and you're typing, you will suddenly discover that it can't happen because you're in such pain, your wrists and your ankles and, your elbows and everything involved with your arm just hurts terribly. And you have to realize that that's just an energy shift. And so what you need to do is, when you meditate, is work on getting that out and transforming those energies into something so that you can do your job and work. And so this is a process that also happens. That's why a lot of people go to doctors or chiropractors or whatever, and they find out after a little while that it's not working because they have to resolve the issues that are happening there. And normal medical manipulations or medicines or whatever won't do the job. So you just have to realize that this is really a adjustment and it's not really a medical thing. So that's a problem that a lot of people are going into. Why I said before, you learn to get into a meditative pattern where you are talking to your people involved in this process, namely, as I said, Galactic Federation medical teams and your own body guardian teams that are working on your body 24/7 every second of the day. So that's a process you also have to start. It's kind of like you have to start to develop basic procedures in your life, rituals or whatever. When you meditate, you do certain things during the course of your meditation so that you get in touch as you get into a higher energy. Can more easily get in touch with the various groups you've been talking about, the Federation medical teams, and most importantly, your own bodyguard, your angelic bodyguardians, and find out what's going on around there in your own body so that you have a better understanding of what's happening so that you don't freak out. Because a lot of times people freak out. Sometimes doctors even see a gray spot in the brain. They get brain surgery and they find out there's nothing there. It's normal.
So what
we have to do is figure that process out with our own inner abilities. And therefore, like I said, you can develop a schedule saying, this is transformational. No, this is really becoming medical. I need to really go to a doctor or whatever I do for that particular type of problem, maybe a chiropractor or a naturopathic doctor or whatever, and just do the process with them for relieving whatever it is that's causing the pain.
Now, I know that I would classify you as a helper to the galactic team. Are there others in the world that are doing the same as you that you're doing?
There probably are, but I don't know who they are, because basically what I've been doing since I started this is pretty much not really getting into anybody else's stuff. I just pretty well just do what they tell me to do. And I found out that being pure in this makes it much easier. So I really will just have to say there are probably people around there, but I can't really tell you who they are.
Do you see us becoming one huge country? I mean, the world, like they say, one world order. But, I mean, do you see us doing that for the betterment of our world or our Earth?
Well, eventually what's going to happen before we finish with this whole 3D act is our planet is supposed to go, according to what they have told me, I have to go with that, which is that the planet's nations will eventually be in a cooperative mood with one another, and we will change over from this competitive process that we now have on this planet to a ways that allow planets, that allow this planet's nations to cooperate with one another in ways that allows for things that are important, like feeding starving people, making sure there aren't unnecessary wars on this planet, maintaining a situation of peace, and other ways that are going to change it. And, of course, when these funds come in, it's going to make the entire planet move from a mode of where we have those that are very wealthy, those that are barely making it, and those that are extremely poor, that end, and everybody becomes abundant. And that will then change the stuff we were just talking about, which is poverty and lack of homes and lack of wealth will be gone. And the process then changes to a world that has wealth and understands that we are all one and is cooperating with one another to create a reality, a world society that is able to take care of all its problems by working toward solutions that work, not solutions that are doomed to failure because of the nature of certain major nations not being willing to cooperate with whatever is getting done. So this will change everything. So we're on the verge of that. Right now, it looks pretty grim out there. We have some very, very poor nations that are barely making it, that are in a great deal of difficulties. We have major nations that used to be extremely wealthy that are now approaching that situation, especially in parts of Europe and here in North America and also in the Pacific and as well in Asia that are in that same situation. So countries right now are finding great changes. Like, for instance, I read this morning and it astounded me. Japan is in a position where in the next few months, if things don't get better, they're going to have to start closing airports. So what we have is societies that we took for granted were very wealthy, successful societies in the same situation as countries that were formerly thought of as being very poor and limited in what they could do financially. So this world is really collapsing around us economically, and what is happening is that's just a might say it a prequel to the process of change that needs to happen of moving from, as I said, from periods of those very wealthy and those in great deal of want to a reality in which these nations of the world are able to cooperate with one another because the monetary situations and other things related to that, like resources, can be solved because there is enough water on this planet for everybody to drink. There's enough food on this planet for everybody to eat. There's enough clothes on this planet for everybody to wear decent clothes. There's enough material so that everybody should live in a decent shelter. So all those things, shelter, food, clothing, should not be a problem. The only difficulty we should have is creatively putting forth for us those things which give us joy and finding out how the solution of how to achieve that. So that's entirely different from where we are right now, where some people are desperate, other people are not. We just have to realize that this great shift is happening and just use our intentions to cause that shift to happen.
Wow. Over, Sheldon, it seems like a lot of the European countries are more alert to UFOs appearing, and more UFOs appear in those areas in Mexico. Why is this that they're, you know, do this? Is it because we're not accepting here in the United States?
Well, unless a massive amount of them show up, people in the United States do not report it. Like just here in Sacramento 3 days ago, they had massive sightings, so it was on the news. So what we have to understand is that, yes, there are sightings in the United States of massive levels, And yes, people are see them and reporting it to local news stations in the area where they're in. But the other thing we also have to understand here, which is very important, is that UFOs exist. It's just governments that try to make pretend they don't. For instance, our government is the world leader in this non-disclosure concept. And so as people become more aware, we just have to put pressure on people to have people understand that that are in these governments that this disclosure procedure is what should happen. And, of course, there are things underway right now that are going to cause governmental change, which will finally allow this disclosure process, which is very important, to occur on a world or, might say, global basis so that people know, A, these ships are out there, B, they have a purpose for being out there, and C, they are benign, and this is part of eventually what's going to turn into a first contact because we are shifting. That's something else that is happening, which is what I want a disclosure of, is a disclosure of the shifts within ourselves that we are changing. We are mutating. It's not some massive disease that has to be hidden. It's a process of changing us toward being people that are of full consciousness and, as I said, walk between these two worlds we've been alluding to, the spiritual and the physical. So when you begin to see that and understand that, you begin to see how government is trying to prevent certain things from happening, but is not doing a very good job of it, except in making certain members of the media, et cetera, and be in a non-disclosure mode about what we're talking about, UFOs and the shift we've been talking about from the beginning.
Yeah, I was just thinking, what about the psychic children? Are they able to see the ships at this time?
Yes, the psychic children are not only able to see the ships, they're telepathically, in constant talking mode with them because they are telepathic. And they have come here basically to do two things. The first thing they're here to do is to work with the changing grids of our reality. And the second thing that they're here is to help move us from this limited consciousness into full consciousness. So when you know what they're about and you know why they're here, you understand that, yeah, they're kind of like, you might call them almost like a part of the on-ground force that the Galactic Federation through heaven has brought forth to help us with this transition. So I see the UFOs, which I like to call IFOs, totally as part of this process of bringing forth our shift from limited to full consciousness and allowing a means for the planet to do so by giving our planet the technological alternative of to go someplace else so that this can all happen safely and at that same time humanity can shift into full consciousness in a safe place as well.
Now, I would think that the UFOs could hide themselves if they want to. So do you think they're visibly being seen purposely so that we are getting used to them gradually?
Yeah, they're doing that. They're bringing out a lot more daytime sightings, which is what happened here a few days ago. Saturday and Sunday and Monday, they had a lot of sightings at night and in the daytime here, which amazed me because I didn't know about it because I was doing other things. But I heard it on the news, so I know they would not have it as a lead story on the news unless it was something that was really happening and they'd gotten a lot of stuff. But the thing is, of course, everything is local. If there's a huge flap in Omaha, Nebraska, you don't hear about it in Sacramento, California, or in San Jose, for that matter. This is another part of this non-disclosure thing. We have to understand that after this thing went away, I will say by probably next week, people will be shaking their heads that were part of the observing segment that reported the news story. But it'll all be fading away for people because people will start looking at news, et cetera, and saying, well, nothing nor happened. But this is something that's happening out there all the time around all parts of the planet. We have a global process going on of preliminaries to first contact. It's been going on for nearly two decades. What is happening here is they are just waiting for the word to get more directly involved, and that's what's starting to happen right now. So I would say that the amount of ships seen in the daylight will probably start in very shortly to go up in all areas around this country as well as around the planet. There are some areas like, for instance, like Mexico and large parts of the Americas south of us, south of the border, that have been a part of this observation process, have filmed them, have done videotapes, have put it on network television in those particular countries. It's made the front pages in magazines and newspapers. But this is all in Spanish. So when we ever go there, unless we can read Spanish, unless we see an interesting picture on the front page, we really don't know what it is. They even call them by a different name. You know, you see OVNI in the headlines, you don't know what that is. That means flying object, I forgot exactly how to say it in Spanish. So when I ever see headlines in different languages, I always look for the concept of what that is in that particular language. But most of the English-speaking world, they call them still UFOs or saucers. But the important thing about the Galactic Federation is, as I said, they are here. They have a mission. The mission ends with first contact and then our shift into full consciousness. And they are always out there, and they are intervening more and more to work us toward actual changes in our economic and our governmental systems. And that's what's happening.
Well, I'm thinking, I let me go back and ask you, are all children that are, say, 5 years old or 6 or 7 into there, maybe up to 10, are they all aware of this?
On some level, they all are. But on other levels, as they become more part of the social system, they kind of keep it to themselves unless they find other people, other kids, that can act as a support system. So that's what you can say about them. Yes, all of them know about this. The question that each one of them have is, what is appropriate to say publicly? This is one of the things I ran into when I was 5 or 6. I was totally into the disclosure mode, and I got lots of kids that basically came from families that said this wasn't real, and basically they gave it to me. So I didn't really like it. So I got, that was the start of me becoming very much introverted, because I saw everybody around me. I began feeling almost paranoid about it, because wherever I would go, I would explain it. I would always be treated like I was crazy or I wasn't real or stuff like that. So I just learned to go inward with it. And the only person I really could, after a certain period of time, share this with was my sister. So I'm sure that similar situations are happening, but less as difficult as happened to me, because that was like 50 years ago. So it was a long time ago, 50 and almost 60 years ago. So the process is, there has luckily been a change in how people look at this stuff and how they view it. And there are a lot more people believing it. They're like 71% of the population right now believes that UFOs exist. So we now have a reality out there where there's lots of people that have scratched their heads enough and said, it's probably real. Will it happen in our own lifetime? I don't know, even though they'll hear people like me saying it will. But they are once again living in their minds, and their minds say that, okay, I have these funny-looking multicolored dots in the sky at night. Some people more and more get to see them in the daytime, get to see these silvery objects going at great speed across the sky or stopping suddenly to give them a general idea of the fact that they exist. Like in the webinar, I had a picture of a shipment that was done in Poland in 2006, where the ship just stood there for hours in this field outside of the city in Poland. So what we have is, from time to time, people get these daytime pictures that are really incredible, but for the most part, people don't. They only get it as a fleeting thing, and therefore, even if it's in a group, they will tend to discount it because it was odd. They will say things like, well, it wasn't a helicopter, it wasn't an airplane, it wasn't a jet or a propeller, it made no noise, therefore it couldn't have been an aircraft anyways, therefore it was something odd, and then they'll just say, well, there was something odd that I saw today, and that's where they'll leave it, because there's still a large amount of fear out there about the whole disclosure thing. So that's why, really, if we get government to, at the top, start the process of changing how people look at this, in terms of disclosing it among themselves, the amount of people that have actually seen or prolongedly seen stuff at night or either in the daytime will come forth. And that will really help the process of changing people's minds, because people have perceptions right now that in public this is a no-no subject to talk about. And we have to change that from a no-no subject to talk about to a subject that is appropriate to talk about. Right now you have major nations around the world. You have like Brazil, Mexico, you have the Netherlands, you have people in Germany, people in France that are disclosing this, and you have England even with a partial disclosure of the first 10 years of they have on file from their files of disclosing what were quote-unquote unusual and could not be seen as being aircraft stars or whatever that they disclose. In other words, they call these unknowns. And so these unknowns are now pulling up in the files of all these different countries, and there are other countries, like I said, like Brazil and Mexico, where major people in the military or in the government have simply come forth on national television and said in a press conference, yes, it exists. So we have to realize a lot of governments have said there's strange stuff going on in our skies. It's not technologically anything like we know in terms of aircraft or something similar to that. And we also have around this world a large number of people that have seen this and have taken videos and et cetera. And unfortunately, if the United States television stations would allow this stuff to get on television, disclosure would follow, I think, within a month at the most.
Well, even the Vatican has said that there's a possibility of UFOs.
Well, the Vatican understands at an even deeper level than it wants to admit right now that this stuff is real, that they have been in contact with beings from this stuff. They know the Galactic Federation is out there. They know what their mission is. They're just disclosing as much of what they feel they can. Unfortunately, a religion feels it has certain basic a priori basic foundations that it can't really talk about until certain other things on this world happen. So the Catholic Church, as just about any other religious organization would do, is going to a certain level of acceptance and approval of it and not going beyond that. So we have to just realize that they have their reality that they live in. Everybody's swimming in a sea of perceptions that they believe are the correct ones, and therefore they will only go so far. The American government is so much committed to basic concepts about space war, et cetera, that it refuses to admit such things exist, because if there were benevolent beings in spaceships running around our planet, then the whole concept of space war and the stuff they are talking about becomes irrelevant. And, of course, they have a budgetary as well as other commitments to maintaining, so they are in that process. So we have to really realize the perceptions in the American government have to shift, and then they'll do the disclosure. Until then, you can send them 20 million emails or Western Union telegrams or any other thing you want to do to communicate with them, clog up their phone lines for days, nothing will happen. Until they're ready to make that decision and decide in a positive way to go forth, nothing's going to happen. So that's why we need to have a shift in this government right now, because this government is basically a non-disclosure government. Do not expect the American government, as is now constituted, to have disclosure. Just realize that. So once you understand that, you realize that that's one of the reasons why this transitional governments that we've been talking about in the webinars, et cetera, and my materials with the updates are important, because what they are doing are two things. They're opening that door that we just talked about, which allows the perception of the average person to shift. And secondly, they're allowing for people to understand that there is a great physical shift going on as far as we're changing in consciousness from limited to full conscious beings. Because since they see A is leading to B, in other words, UFO disclosure leads to consciousness shift disclosure, they look at that whole process and they say, we can't really do that yet, because that changes things medically, that changes things spiritually, that changes things governmentally, financially, etc. So they look at that, and you got to remember this government is run by a specific group of very wealthy, influential people, industries like banks, etc. They do not want that change to happen, so this government is committed to trying to act as a barrier to that process. So we have to realize that this particular government, until it is changed, will act in a certain basic way. So it's discouraging to me, but unfortunately you have to accept those parameters and know that that is what's happening out there. And, of course, as I said, there are other governments that have taken those steps that I wish this government would take.
Yeah.
Now, there's someone in the chat room that wants to know, in the next few weeks or months, is there anything that will happen that will indicate to us that this shift is actually happening?
Well, the first thing will be the economic shift, and that means that we will have an abundance program that's sent out. When the abundance program is set out, the next shift that we will see almost immediately within 24 to 40 hours is a shift in the government. There'll be a new government. It'll be a transitional government. The purpose of that government will be to restore this country's original processes, which is its constitutional government, and it'll change our laws from being statute laws, military laws, I like to call it, law of the king, to law of the common people, common law. So when all that happens, you will be in a different reality. And I say, I wish it was yesterday that it happened.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was just thinking, it's pretty interesting if people only realized some of these shifts, for instance, because there's technologies to literally support your body on an immediate basis once the shift takes place.
Exactly.
And these, you know, it comes from the Galactic Federation and the people around us. So, I mean, you're looking at food that is good for your body in a different way than you never thought of. Technologies to assist the health. Guess why our government doesn't want us to bring on board any other system? Because of the pharmaceuticals and doctors and everyone else.
Right, right.
But maybe if they really knew. I mean, they're part of this population that's also aching, perhaps, and not being able to be as in the way that they would like to perform as well. So I guess maybe, first of all, you know, Sheldon, people are really lucky listening to the program today because they do have an hour or two, I think, to be able to hop on and go to be with you at the seminar tonight. And however, I think Colleen said that we only have until about 3 o'clock in that specific standard time to be able to get in and join up and be able to be with you on the seminar.
Well,
and if you want to do that, you can go to the paoweb.com, and that's P-A-O-Web, W-E-B.com. And you can go in and you can sign up to be.
Well, unless the website shopping cart is up right now. I would say the best thing to do would be look at the look at the site, see if you can indeed register. If you can't, email us. Because she can do only so much. She's only one human being.
Right.
So the earlier you check on it, the better.
Right.
Right. And just remember, the shopping cart right now is down. If it is up, when you go to the site, you'll see that it's up by just trying it. And if it doesn't work, then send it out an email. And don't wait till like 2:30 to do it.
Right.
Now, there's
okay.
Somebody that's called in that wants to ask a question on area code 434392. Do you have a question for Sheldon? Hello?
Are you speaking to me?
Yes.
Okay, yes, I do have a question. Speaking about the financing, I'm one of those individuals that's a recipient of the financial dispersion, and we keep getting this information that Obama is blocking the distribution and of the primary packages, and my information that I keep getting from the people in the Galactic Federation is that Obama was chosen to do what he's doing today, and it seems to be confusing to me as to why would they choose somebody to train him or whatever they've done with him to be in a position that he's in, to if they're interested in having all of this move forward, have someone there that's stopping it.
Well, right now he's head of the USA Corporation. His job is as CAO of the corporation is to preserve the corporation. So when this money comes in, the next part is the announcements to get rid of this corporation and transform our government into a transitional government that basically has two purposes. One, to set up the machinery for a really fair and true republic to be reestablished and then fair elections to happen. And then the second thing that would happen is, of course, this government then is reestablishing traditional constitutional and laws, common laws that right now are non-existent. We get rid of all the statute laws. We transform them into common law. We change the flag and all that kind of stuff. So his job primarily right now is as head of the government. If you were head of General Motors, you would be working on some way to keep General Motors afloat, right? That's what he's doing. He's the CEO of this corporation.
Well, it seems to me that there's going to be a lot of prosecution that's going to be happening at the time when this all is disclosed, and it seems to me that he's not wanting to have that happen, and in fact, some of the things he's doing looks like he would be prosecuted also.
Well, there are things that are going to happen around Obama that are going to prevent that for him. But the process is, we have a government that knows it's caving in right now. It knows when the Federal Reserve System totally goes overboard and is formally agreed to that it's bankrupt and can't work anymore, needs to be reorganized. Then this process of government shift will happen very fast. And so he understands all of that. What he's going to be doing is basically cooperating with the change and then going. So you might say he's in there so that he doesn't try to, he's not a person who's going to be opposing everything to the end. So once this actually does start, the process will be helped by him. But he has to right now, in the position that he's in, act, like I said, like the CEO of this corporation. So he has to preserve it as long as it can be made possible to do so. But once you get the equivalent of government bankruptcy, and then it acts just like any private corporation. It has to go and be reorganized, and what can be saved and changed will be saved and changed. So that's what we really have to understand is going on. And so there's been negotiations and other things going on right now that are moving this toward the end. So we are near the end of this process. So the thing is to not blame Obama one way or the other. Just know that he is the instrument of the change that's happening, and just know that as a politician, he understands that, and he understands the consequences, and he's ready to accept what is needed. So just know that much.
Well,
he's not
an
angel. He's not a devil. Just understand that.
I'm sorry, sir.
Yes.
Okay.
We are running out of time.
Okay.
Thank you, though, for calling in.
Well, thank
and
you.
Thank you. I just want to let people know that head to the website, find out what's going on, and you can be on the webinars with Sheldon in the future as well if you missed today by any chance. His website is paoweb.com. That's paoweb.com. And just so that you know, he has an incredible CD. It's called Back to Being Galactic Humans. It's an awesome CD.
You can get that on the website also, right?
Ooh, yes, huh? And, you know, the books that he has put out, you'll enjoy them, I'm sure. Sheldon, one last message of 15 seconds.
Okay, 15 seconds, huh? Okay, just ask everybody to stay calm, stay focused. Understand there's change happening around them and within their bodies and in their spirit, and just be focused, be patient, and be centered on the intent that all is changing and it's going to change wonderfully, easily, and great, and before you know it, we will be in a new reality. So
relax and enjoy our transition, huh?
Yeah, relax and enjoy
with
it.
With lots of love.
Right, with lots of love, yes.
Oh, Sheldon, thank you so much. It's been really great, and let's see. This is the Taz and Paula Show. Head to our website in case you've missed anything, and thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me on. Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Woo, my goodness. That was...